What's up, listeners? Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the In the End Zone podcast. Just a quick heads up before we jump right into it. You can find this recording as well as some of our previous recordings on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. You can find us by searching at Settle Down Media on both of those sites. Also, be sure to follow us on our social media pages. We regularly post on Instagram. You can find us by searching at In the End Zone podcast on Instagram. Also, be sure to follow us on our Patreon. For less than a cup of coffee in a month, $3. You get exclusive content. You get access to behind-the-scenes stuff, footage before it's even out on YouTube. So thank you for doing that. So thanks for watching this and enjoy the rest of the episode. Peace.
City.
Somehow the world will change for me and be so
wonderful. Oh, God, I just visibly cringe, dude. It's so bad.
Welcome back to the Talk Tuch podcast.
This is episode two.
This is episode two.
How I'm not known for Haktua.
Haktua. I've done everything else.
I'm sorry.
I know. Worst meme ever.
Anyways, fellas, we kind of have a lot to talk about. So, Anthony, how has your week been?
Good. Applying for jobs. That's it.
Nice. Keaton? Yeah. What about you?
Everything's been good, man. Sports week, great. Caleb sucks. Gino's great. I'm happy. Life's been great.
God, I'm so screwed for this podcast. Yeah, I'm not going to lie to you guys. I've been dreading this.
Yeah, what about you, Zach?
But it was a tough weekend. Went in, worked on Saturday. Even Saturday's games were boring as hell for college football. And then I watched football all Sunday. I mean, I won all my fantasy games, but I knew going into this that I was just going to take a lot of shit. So, Keaton, I'm ready. Please don't hurt me too bad, but let's get into it.
Let's do it. Let's absolutely just jump into this.
Okay.
Green 18. Red 48. Settle down. Wide 80. Sit hut.
We suck. We suck. Get rid of Belichick. Get rid of Mac Jones. Get rid of our entire fucking receiving core.
You guys are 2-8.
That's what I thought.
7-2-8. It doesn't matter. We still suck.
Yeah. So Seahawks played the Ravens. Final score was 28-25. Geno Smith, 5 touchdowns, no interceptions. Not really much to write home about that game. Just right.
This is egregious.
I don't think Jared Goff is a top 5 quarterback in the NFC.
Are you putting Justin Herbert over Jared Goff?
Yes.
It was like an interview for like a new podcast company. Called Brazzers. I mean, you could see I'm literally in the I'm in the headquarters right now, dude. That Brazzers clip is actually going to come back because I'm going to put Zach on a clip tonight.
Whoa.
Just saying, dude. We're filming a movie tonight.
Damn. Okay. Let's get into it. Anthony, I will say, we might need to actually update that intro because the Patriots, they do not suck. And we'll get into it.
Some changes to the intro are going to happen this week, but for the next episode. So,
let's stay in that division. Thursday night football. And if you don't know why I'm throwing up gang signs, it's because Tua might have thrown up some gang signs again. Unfortunately, and all jokes aside, I'm so sorry I did that. I had to do it just one time. Just had to do it because I am a bit of a Tua disliker. But I do care about his health. And in all honesty, we'll talk about this later. I really hope that he thinks about retiring. I love Tua as a guy. I don't think we'll get to it. But again, Bills at Dolphins, 31-10. Tua got injured. I believe it was in the third quarter. Am I wrong with that? I think it might have been
the fourth quarter, like marching down the field.
I know it was like
as Skylar Thompson came in after threw a couple passes.
Anyways, it was in the second half. The Bills were definitely winning that game, but once Tua came out, they had no offense. So we'll talk about that later. Great game. I guess for the Bills, but not for the Dolphins. And then we get into Sunday and the game that I just mentioned, the Seahawks versus the Patriots. And Keaton, if you don't remember, I'm going to shit on you just a little bit here. I will say, if you go back to last episode,
you said that we're going to blow them out.
Yes.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Anthony?
True.
You said last episode that they were going to blow them out. Anthony, was it a blowout?
Absolutely not. And Keaton, I told you guys, and I told everyone, it's not going to be a blowout. If anything, this is going to go down to a field goal. And I called it. And
I didn't hear that.
We can go back.
Anthony,
check the receipts.
It's going to be close, and both you and I thought it was going to be a blowout. I will say, Mike McDonald.
I do want to hear an I'm sorry, you were right. That's all I want to hear. But congratulations on your win. That's all.
No.
That's all.
I don't apologize ever.
Okay.
And two, Mike McDonald did come out and say it's going to be a grinded out type game. So, you know, he said that after I said what I said. So, in him, I trust. And he was right. Dude, Geno Smith, DK Metcalf, okay. Justin Smith and Jigba. I'm going to be honest. We're gonna just cover the Bears just an eensy weensy bit. But this is exactly what I said going into the year. Shane Waldron, he was the issue because Ryan Grubb utilized that offense like I've never seen. And Shane Waldron is not utilizing Caleb Williams to his best power. And yeah, Seattle gets it done, man. Great game. Yeah,
and we'll continue to move forward with this, but that DK celebration. Holy moly.
So tough.
DK with the celebrations. Dude, he's on.
I love DK.
The sign language, and now you're doing that. That was hard as hell. I'm sorry.
I do know we have to like move on. I did want to let Ant know. I'm sorry for the GG chat. Yeah. For those who don't know,
you suck for that.
I texted Anthony GG with about 3 minutes left in the game because I really thought Seattle lost. I thought Seattle was going to lose, and they went to go attempt a field goal. Seattle blocked it, got the ball back, tied the game up, and then won it in overtime. And I kept telling Anthony we had lost. So he said it. I jinxed it, and I'm pretty sure I did.
I was really pissed because I was like, it's not over, Keaton. And you're like, nope, just accept it. And I'm like, I'm not accepting anything, Keaton. It's not over yet. The game is not done. So
you know how Madden has
a bitch for that, though. But
you know how Madden has its curse? GG's is like the fantasy football curse. If you throw it at someone, it gets fucking close. If you say GG's in a game, it gets close.
It's a sneaky link, dude. You gotta use it sparingly.
Maybe that's my karma.
But
it's Dewey,
before I continue, and Keaton, I just want to say this Patriots defense is 1,000% a top 10 defense in the league. Yep. 1,000. I mean, they're legit.
Christian Gonzalez isn't Patrick Surtain.
Great.
Not yet.
Gonzalez is phenomenal, but. Little shitty.
He's not there yet.
But week one.
Really good. Really good.
23 yards. So.
He's really good.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
He's gonna
really
be there.
Good. He's gonna be great.
I have hope, and I'm happy about. I'm happy.
Patriots
about
are good, thing. Man. Gerard Mayo, great hire. Love him. Love it.
Very good. Okay, so moving on to the next game, we have the Raiders at Ravens. And before I say the score, I want to ask you guys this: should John Harbaugh be on the hot seat?
Because he should have been on the hot seat last
managed
year.
It. Dude, the way they managed that game, I was in shock. I mean, we'll get to the Sunday night football game, or excuse me, the Monday night football game, because that might have been worse. But, I mean, it was the worst managing I've seen in years. I don't even know what to say. The Raiders won 26-23. They were down 13 with, 8 minutes left or something like that?
Yeah, it was whatever 11, it was.
I don't know, something. I don't remember exactly the score. But, dude, shout out to the fucking Raiders. And shout out to Max Crosby, because when Gardner threw the interception, Max went over there, grabbed him. Grabbed and started pointing at him. I don't know what the fuck he said. I wish he was mic'd up. Pointing at him. After that, Gardner went fucking crazy. The Raiders, if you don't know, and if someone could back me up with this by looking up, that'd be awesome. But I'm pretty sure they had 23 rushing yards on 13 attempts. Some crazy stat like that. On the final drive, they threw the ball 9 times in a row. 9 times in a row. Have you ever seen a final drive where, again, time was an issue, but they did not run the ball once? 9 for 9. I mean, again, also moving forward, we don't want to talk about this for too long. Brock Bowers, him, might be the offensive rookie of the year. He is fucking him. He is him.
He's very good. He's going to be everything is advertised. I'm trying to find that stat. It might take too long to find, but I will say you can pull up the receipts. You can pull up the receipts. I have said pretty much all of last year that I don't know why John Harbaugh has still continued to secure contract after contract, because I don't think he deserves to be there. He hasn't won anything.
Nope.
So, nope.
And realistically, I saw the comments are like, why didn't we hire McDonald? I'm like, dude, honestly, you had the fucking chance to. I mean, look what he's doing in Seattle. They are number one in the NFC West. As much as that pains me to say, they are. We'll get to it. Moving on, because I don't want to give Keaton too much pleasure right now.
I'm pleasured.
So moving on, Raiders at Ravens, obviously 26-23. We have the Browns at Jags. We're not going to get into this. This was a snooze fest. We had the Browns beating the Jaguars 18-3. Like I said, snooze fest. Jets at Titans 24-17. That game shocked me. Was not expecting it to be that close. Again, Will Levis, you are going to get benched, bud. because you are playing like shit. You are turning the ball over. You even have your coach talking shit about you in a press conference. So not looking too Mayo ideal man. For him. Yeah. God, that is insane, dude. With everything that's happened, that he is a Mayo advocate, and now he's sponsored by
puts Mayo company. Puts Mayo in his coffee.
Holy moly. Okay, Keaton, that is breaking news. We'll get to that is insane. And to the game that I know Keaton's just licking his chops for and that I dread wanting to talk about, the 49ers at Vikings, 17-23. The Vikings unfortunately beat us. Dude, I don't know what to say, honestly. I looked at the game, and I have a couple things I want to say before you go on, Keaton, before you go on. Number one, I don't think Brock is the issue. Number two, I think that we've been outcoached in both games now, specifically with Kyle Shanahan. He has not called a great play call or a great game for the last two games. And realistically, we were able to run the ball last game, and we didn't even try to this game. Didn't make sense to me. Number three, Brandon Ayuk, you need to do something. And number four, Fred Warner, you should be the defensive player of the year. Keaton, the floor is yours.
It's a good day. It's a good day to be a D1 Niners hater, a Hall of Fame hater. Put me in the Ring of Honor. I'm laughing now, and ultimately at the end of the season, I know that the Niners are more than likely on top. Seattle's kept it close with two teams that realistically aren't playoff teams yet, and that's okay. We're 2-0, possibly going into 3-0 this weekend. So I'm gonna enjoy it while it lasts. You know, soak it in.
Yeah.
Don't get this forever.
Mm-hmm. Anthony, what do you think about that game?
I'm not gonna lie, that was pretty embarrassing. How they completely rolled y'all. For starters, man, the Justin Jefferson 97-yard touchdown, insane. I don't know what your defense was doing.
There was double coverage,
man. And he still got it. Sam Darnold, man, is I don't know. You guys did not look good. Respectfully, you guys did not look good. But
No. That's okay. You could say whatever fuck you need to say, honestly, because I'm going to take it.
It didn't look great. Didn't look great. I know that, and like Keaton said it perfectly, right? They're going to come up on top, right? It's going to be a fluke. Vikings have had your guys' number for quite some time now.
Actually, it's 8 straight losses in Minnesota, by the way.
I wanted to look that up. The 49ers have not beaten the Vikings in Minnesota since 1992.
Yeah. So
1992.
They definitely had your guys' number for a while. But so it is what it is.
It sucks. I'm just glad that it happened early in the year, and I'm not worrying about this later on. I think if you're going to lose a game, lose it right in the beginning, especially when you're not healthy. But I can say this. It wasn't great. It's not encouraging. I think Fred Warner is the only guy that I was actually
got balled out.
Fred should be the defensive player of the year. I'm sorry. I'm saying.
I don't know. We'll keep that open ended. Hey. Three Aiden turnovers. Hutchinson, 4.5 sacks in a single game.
Aiden is him.
I think he's up there too.
Aiden, Max Crosby's there too. He had two.
Daniel Jones.
Yeah. Anyway,
he's got a lot of touchdowns to the other defense. Look,
man, I haven't hit the panic button yet, but I can tell you I'm not encouraged. And really, it scares me what our offense is doing. I said this in the beginning of last game. I don't know if you guys were in that chat, or if it was in the Niners one, or I sent it to my dad, but I said, we're getting outcoached. We are getting outcoached. Our offense looks rusty. Again, we got outcoached against the Vikings, dude. Shout out to the Vikings coaching staff, man. They're one of the best. I saw another stat. When they are leading with, when they are either tied or they are winning the turnover battle with their new head coach, they are 19-0, man.
Nice.
I mean, that's an insane stat.
You win when it matters.
Realistically, I mean, you look at it and it's like the Vikings are one of those teams where I call them like, dude, they could be one of those sneaky good teams. I don't think Sam Darnold's going to continue to do this. I do think that their weapons are crazy. They get Jordan Addison back here in a little bit. I don't think he's on IR yet. TJ Hockenson's supposed to be back week 7. Dude, they could make some noise, especially in their division where there's some injuries that are crazy to other teams. But Kevin O'Connell, man, 19-0 when he's either tied or winning the turnover battle.
Great coach.
Great fucking coaching staff. I realistically think they're one of the most underrated. But we will move on. Chargers at Panthers. Again, this was kind of a Chargers game. They ran the ball all over the Panthers. Really nothing else to say. Bryce Young was benched. We'll probably talk about that a little bit later. They suck. They might lose to a college football team if they were to play them right now.
They got worse.
They wouldn't, but they are worse than last year, which I thought was impossible.
Coaching,
it's incredible. It's incredible.
Coaching.
Saints at Cowboys. This was the one thing that kept me fucking sane over the weekend. And my question to you guys is this. Is Dallas in trouble or are the Saints actually the best team in the NFC? Because holy moly.
I'm going to go.
What are the Saints on?
I'm going to go first on this. I'm not going to lie. The Saints, they look good. And I think they're going to keep looking good. I know I've already talked to some of the fellas about this. There are some of them that think, no, they're not going to do anything else. They're not going to be that good. But I've also heard from most of us, Saints, I think, and personally me too, I think Saints are going to continue to look really good. Derek Carr, I'm sorry, he's on track for an MVP year. Sorry.
Yep.
It's happening. Yep. Yeah.
You don't got to say
sorry. Sorry, not sorry. He's looking great. Alvin Kamara's looking like he's back in his prime again. It's insane. I don't know. He's so good.
Everyone's saying that he was going to fall off. I'm like, you are so dumb, dude. So dumb. The way he plays, he doesn't get injured. He plays safely. He is an incredible, incredible fucking running back when it comes to breaking tackles. The best balance I've ever seen, maybe ever, in a running back. He's just a guy that's going to be there forever. And maybe not with the Saints, but he will play for a long time.
Yes.
Phenomenal. Phenomenal fantasy. And I'm assuming he's going to be one of the guys that you talked about.
And answer your other question, what's up with Dallas? Yeah, no, they stink. They're stinky. They're not good.
Dude, I said Dallas this is at the beginning of the
They're
year.
They're overrated. I'm sorry. I'm going to hop on it. They're overrated. The contract extensions with Dak and CD, they're not playing like they should be making that amount of money right now. I'll tell you that. Yep. They're not good.
Yep. Dude, so I said this at the beginning of the year. I said that the Cowboys, I think, could miss the playoffs. I don't.
You did say this, but you're also a D1 Cowboy hater because you are a Niner fan. So I can't take that incredibly seriously.
Realistically, I'm like, okay. This is kind of a Cowboys thing to do, lose to a team that's above 500, a decent team. But if we're realistically talking about this game, and if the Patriots aren't the biggest surprise team in the NFL so far, it's got to be the Saints and that division. Yeah. That division looks fucking phenomenal. Besides the Panthers, I mean, dude.
Yeah.
They look great.
No,
they look great.
It is.
They're the only division in the NFC that have two undefeated teams. The NFC South, the division that we said was probably going to be the worst in football.
Yeah, no, I think we're a little mistaken on that one. We don't know ball.
I don't know if anyone knows ball. No one was expecting this. I mean, the MVP candidates going into week three got to be Derek Carr, Geno Smith. Who else? I mean, fuck, dude.
Baker Mayfield, man.
Baker Mayfield. Dude, even though he didn't play the greatest. But anyways, we'll get into the next game. Giants at Commanders, 18-21. The Commanders took that one. I'm not going to say much more about that. That was a boring ass game.
Drew Lock time, baby. Daniels. Jaden Daniels looks good. That's what I will say. Doesn't have a passing touchdown.
Hey, it's going to be none of the rookie QBs
have a passing touchdown.
That is insane. That's a stat.
Six games. That is a real stat. None. Caleb doesn't have one. Jaden Daniels doesn't. They have rushing. Bo Nix doesn't. Bo Nix has rushing. Doesn't have a passing.
Mm-hmm. Bo Nix looks like he should be back.
Bo Nix has four interceptions. So no passing touchdowns.
Hey, Jaden, you're playing good. We'll show a chart later that shows that he's playing pretty decent compared to his peers. Mm-hmm. But I think it's going to be between him and Brock for sure for Offensive Rookie of the Year. My vote right now would be Brock, but we'll keep moving. Bucks at Lions. And again, this is why I continue to tell you guys the Lions will never win a Super Bowl because of Jared Goff. He went for a 61.8 completion percentage, 307 yards, zero touchdowns, two interceptions, and a 61.7 rating. And then we look at Baker for a 63.2 completion percentage, 185 yards, one touchdown, one interception, and a 90.9 rating. So both quarterbacks played about how we expect them to play in big games. Mediocre at best. I think the Lions are struggling a lot on offense. Amon Ra, just like Brandon Ayuk, just has disappeared for some reason in the beginning.
He played great. Mm-hmm. Almost 28 points this week. 25.
Okay.
The first game, he did nothing. Okay. Anyway, I'll...
We'll talk about that later, too. But, yeah, I don't know. I just think maybe it's just Brandon Ayuk, and I'm trying to fucking cope for it. But, man, oh, man. That game, I think, was very telling of how the season's going to go. I think for big games with the Lions, at least in my opinion, with Jared Goff and the Bucks, again, they look solid, Keaton, like you called. They could win the division. Mm-hmm. I wasn't expecting it, so shout out to you.
Not shocked. Baker got the contract.
You've had a lot of predictions that are going right.
Finally, no ball.
Kind of, Yeah. Colts at Packers. Kind of a boring game, but the Packers kind of did what the Packers were going to do without Jordan Love. They ran the ball down the Colts' throat, and the Colts did not have any offense to back it up. So they lost 16-10. And then we get into the afternoon games. The Rams at Cardinals. Oh, dude.
It's over, man.
Y'all, got a question for y'all. Is Kyler back?
Oh.
Is Kyler back?
So
is Marvin Harrison back?
So Kyler Murray's gonna be back.
After 1 week of everyone shitting on him, is he finally back to the offensive rookie of the year candidate, the best wide receiver ever?
I mean, I think he showed up. To say he's back is to say he was there. I think he showed up finally. Like, he walked maybe in the door. Back,
but you know what I mean. Yeah,
he walked in the door.
I'm going to say Kyler Murray is going to be back. He's going to show up, whatever you want to call it, the correct terminology, until October 25th of 2024 when Call of Duty Black Ops 6 comes out. Then he's going to go back to being complete dog shit. And he's going to, yeah. He's not going to
magically get injured and
can
go
you imagine
right before that.
Can you imagine if he actually, like, his stats drop off massively?
No, they will. No,
dude, this is going to be clip
actual,
of the year.
That's an actual stat. That's an actual stat.
I know.
Clip it.
I know.
Clip
but again, I'm saying again.
Again? Oh, no. Oh my God. I will lose it because I have him in fantasy.
But
hey, I did say this, man.
You and I have been big Kyler advocates. Whenever Kyler's healthy, I think he's one of the best NFC quarterbacks. You specifically said that you think he's better than a couple of guys where I was like, eh. But he showed yesterday or Sunday
he's
that
got
he is
an absolute rocket on his arm.
He is the best 5'9 quarterback of all time. I mean, he is the most talented small quarterback I think I've ever seen. And realistically, when he's healthy, he's always an MVP candidate. He just needs to stay healthy and get off the games.
It's so mesmerizing watching that little dude run around and sling that ball fucking 50 yards. For a tutty.
Dude, I saw a great comparison, and it was between him and Bryce Young. My God, I almost blanked on his name. Bryce Young. Bryce Young is very small, right? And in college, he was able to make plays that a lot of guys in college weren't able to, just with athleticism alone. The difference between Kyler and Bryce when it comes to athleticism and making plays is humongous. Now, the height difference is probably 2 inches or so. They're both very undersized. Not the biggest. Both of them are pretty quick. Fast in college, they both
they're the same height,
dude.
According to ESPN,
Kyler Murray, man, when he gets the ball in his hands, it is a different breed than
makes
Bryce.
Plays.
Bryce looks like he can't make a play in the NFL. He doesn't look athletic enough. Mm-hmm. Completely different. Completely different with Kyler. Kyler looks like he's the most athletic person on the field. He looks like the fastest, the most elusive. He makes cuts that are fucking crazy for a quarterback. He looks like the most athletic person on the field. Bryce, nope. And that's possibly why he got benched again. Offensive line's bad, coaching's bad, but we'll go on to the next game.
Bad organization. I just want to say
that. Steelers at Broncos. The Steelers won again, an ugly fucking game, 13-6. Big defensive game. The Steelers are being the Steelers, the most overrated team in the league, but they'll win.
One touchdown.
Great.
Yep. One touchdown through two games.
Dude, this one just pisses me off. Bengals at Chiefs, 25-26, Chiefs. And look, man, before we get into it, I'm going to say this. Number one, the Bengals are not as bad as everyone was overreacting to. They're still going to be good. I think they'll make the playoffs. Number two, everyone is saying that the Chiefs got blown out, or not blown out. They got helped by the refs. And look, I'm going to be completely honest with you. Oh, sorry. I'm going to be completely honest with you. I don't think the refs helped the Chiefs out. Everyone was saying that they got bailed out. I don't think the Chiefs got bailed out. And realistically, I think the one penalty that they called for defensive pass interference, completely agree with. I mean, he was early by probably two steps. And then the flag on our boy Jamar Chase, who, again, man, has he struggled. That was a flag, and I think that one was kind of a ballsy one because if they get that, they potentially could run the clock out. But Jamar can't get in the ref's face three times. He knows better. It was a flag. I'm not going to say that the Chiefs got fucking bailed out. None of these teams are going to blow him out. We knew it was going to be close. It was a great game, but Jamar, you got to be better, kid. And hey, I'm going to continue saying this. Trent McDuffie, welcome to the top five list of cornerbacks because you've backed it up since the Super Bowl. I mean, he held Jamar to literally nothing as well. It's phenomenal watching that kid play. So yeah, again,
shut down.
Chiefs, you can suck my fucking cock, but good win. Sunday Night Football honestly was a fun, entertaining game. It was Bears at Texans, 13-9. I thought the Texans played like shit. Honestly,
so I will say why that this game was fun and entertaining. It was because of how hysterically funny the Bears offense is. They're horrible. They're absolutely horrible. Bad. Keaton, take it away, buddy. Take it away, please. Do it again.
I know. I don't know ball, all this stuff. I said this from the get-go. Caleb Williams is playing against third-string players. He is able to show athleticism because he is playing against Pac-12 defenses. He cannot do that because, again, he's not the fastest, and we saw that in this game. He's not that elusive. And granted, that offensive line is awful, absolutely awful. It is one of the worst offensive lines I've seen. I think it rivals last year's New York Giants. However, comma, there is a stat that I have right now that will clearly sum up my frustration with Caleb Williams. And it is the fact that, one, people do not know how to blame a quarterback who is clearly not ready to be a starting quarterback. The amount of time that it's like, oh, it's the defense. Oh, it's the offensive line. Oh, it's the receivers. Here's a stat for you. And granted, Shane Waldron, their offensive coordinator, Jackson Smith and Jigba warned us. I even said it. He's an awful, awful, awful OC. He doesn't know how to utilize a field. It's why Geno's playing great. Here's this stat for you. To clear this up, because it is a lot, this is a QB accuracy from a clean pocket statistic through 2 weeks on 20 minimum pass attempts. Right here, you have Geno Smith playing great, Brock Purdy. What you have here is your average depth of target. So this is 10 yards, 7.5 yards, 5 yards. Your on-target percentage, 70, 80, 90%. Geno Smith, all in. Brock Purdy playing great. Will Levis, man, kind of surprising. Bryce Young, not that bad. Caleb Williams, under 70%, under 5 yards on clean pocket throws. What he's doing is Charlie checkdown. He cannot be elusive. When he is throwing wide open passes, and we saw it a couple times in the game, he's overthrowing his receivers. And DJ Moore looked frustrated because he had a perfect back shoulder fade on a clutch first down drive, and Caleb Williams out threw him like 7 yards. And I'm sorry, it's I think he's got all the talent in the world to be a success. We've obviously seen it. It is the Pac-12. You are paying against Pac-12 defenses. Same reason why Bo Nix is struggling. Two interceptions should have been three. I'll get it.
We'll say. I'll ask you one question. Did he play better this game than last game?
I think he played more comfortable for the first half. Yes. And the ones Houston knew how to shut. But here's the one thing I will
say. Pressure.
He did not. That entire first half, and I don't know if there's the exact stat, but I believe he didn't throw a single pass more than 8 yards in the air. Everything he was throwing was quick out routes. That's all he could do. Yeah. The second they made him expand towards the like 15 to 20, and I texted Anthony about it, he either threw an interception. I literally was messaging Anthony, or he was overthrowing his receivers. Romo Dunze should have come down with that touchdown catch. But
he should have. But
you know what? That is a tough ball to get in the NFL.
Yep.
And you got to put it in a better spot if you're Caleb Williams. That's all I'm going to say.
We'll move on, but that Bears defense, again, kind of like the Patriots, top 10 in the league. I mean,
that's Bears defenses. That Texans and defense, again, too.
I don't know if you still have that graphic up, but CJ Stroud on that list probably was the second worst quarterback overall for both sides of the chart. That is surprising to me. But I don't think he's struggling that much, at least what that chart says.
Maybe it's
missing some throws, but
I mean, Geno Smith is up there. Like Geno Smith not normally. Geno Smith doesn't always get a clean pocket. It's
2 weeks into the fucking year, you know.
Yeah. So you see CJ Stroud, Deshaun Watson.
Yes.
Look, man, Jaden Daniels right there. He's throwing chip downs, but he's throwing them accurately. That is a good sign.
My God.
Will Levis though? Will Levis on this list pissed me off.
That is shocking.
Will Levis pisses me off on this list.
Shout out to Sam Darnold too. I didn't say that earlier, but
he's playing ball. Derek Carr playing ball. Geno balling.
Yeah, it's going to take Caleb a couple games, clearly. He's not as good and as polished as I thought he was going to be, and I'll admit that. I thought he was going to go into the league and do well, and it kind of shows what a bad offensive coordinator and a horrible offensive line does to a good quarterback, because I don't Russian think spy. He's comfortable, and it's going to take a while for him to be comfortable. But we'll move on. And then our last game was the Monday Night Football game, and let's be honest, what a fucking day it was. What a night it was. I'm a happy fucking 49ers fan after that one, because the Eagles – maybe the worst choke I've seen in years. I have no clue the defense you were playing. You weren't even playing pre-vet. Darius Slay is laughing. And if you don't know what the fuck happened, I'm sorry. I should have said the score. 22-21. But Kirko Chains went down in fucking 2 minutes.
two-minute clinic.
With ease. And hey, Ant, we've been shitting on a wide receiver. Who was the wide receiver that caught the game-winning catch?
Oh, God. Drake London.
Drake London caught the game-winning pass, the game-winning fucking catch on Darius Slay. Darius Slay walks up to him after the game, laughing, daps him up, and, like, starts smiling. I'm like, dude, are you just not taking this seriously? It's Drake London. You just got routed by Drake London, who is not a great route runner, and he had the game-winning fucking catch on your bitch ass, and you just admitted, like, ah, you got me. You got me. I mean, what happened to the days where it was Richard Sherman versus fucking Michael Crabtree? They're in their face getting angry. Darius Slay just thinks everything's just fucking sunshine and rainbows. Again, I fucking hate the Eagles. I love that fucking outcome. Just shows, again, who should be on the fucking hot seat. Nick, fuck you. Frick you, dude. You suck.
Frick you. Can I say just something real quick? So we all know Nick Sirianni loves his antics, right? It's what I think, dude. You know, gets him all the clicks, and it's what gets all the Eagles the buzz and all the hate now. Do you guys remember? I don't remember exactly when it was last year, but they played against the Chiefs. And he's walking through the tunnel and he's yelling, Chiefs fans, shut up. Y'all ain't talking no more. Shut up. All that stuff. Mm-hmm. Basically, I mean, a coach should never do that. You're the face of your organization, right? Since he's done that, that team is 3-6.
Yep.
That team is three wins. Hey,
he should be fired.
Drew Lock's son right there. Nick Sirianni owns that pussy.
He should be fired. I'm sorry.
Howie Roseman, the Eagles GM, has come out multiple times throughout the offseason, and he did explicitly say that he was he's not going to hesitate to cut the fat, so to speak, if the team doesn't produce in the way that the team's supposed to produce. And so Nick Sirianni is 100% at risk of losing his job if the team
doesn't
loses six games, loses in the divisional round, he's gone.
Holy shit, that's not good. Yeah, I mean, again, like I said earlier, the NFC South, man, they are surprising. That was a surprising game. I could not believe they came back and won that game. I was watching it, and Ant and I both had some players where we were rooting for. We both won our game, so thank God to that. But I just couldn't believe it. Honestly, it was just one of those games where you don't really see the Eagles lose a lot, which worries me as an Eagles fan. I'm not an Eagles fan, but if I was an Eagles fan, that would worry me. You know what I'm saying? I don't like the Eagles, right. So I'm happy. I'm happy as can be. The NFC East, both the teams I hate lost, so couldn't be more happy. But rolling into kind of what I said, we were watching that game hoping that some of our fantasy teams and players did well. And Keaton, I'm going to let you speak first, even though my name is on the list. Do you have some fantasy players that you want to talk about? Biggest disappointment, biggest surprise, most mediocre?
Yeah, let me pull up my sleeper app real quick. My biggest disappointment, I'm going to be honest, Brandon Ayuk. I did this last year when I invested my first round pick into Deebo Samuel, and it was the entire year was just hit or miss. Brandon Ayuk through 2 weeks has done absolutely nothing, and I don't really have a choice but to leave him in there. I think he's my second round pick.
You should.
I have to. We'll talk about this. Yeah. We're going to talk about that later. Yeah. But last week he put up 8.5 points on a projected 14 against a Minnesota defense, which saw him 4 receptions for 43 yards. Not great. However, biggest surprise player, man, DK Metcalf, having that game that we all know DK Metcalf can have, 29 points. Feast on him. The foursome fan. And the most mediocre, man, Baker Mayfield. I sat him on my bench last week. He had like almost 30 points. Put him in my starting position. He played better than Dak, so I can't complain. But he only had about 19 points. Had an interception and a touchdown, but not the worst game. Just kind of the Baker that we all expected. So he should be able to bounce back, though.
He won?
I did win. I beat Isaac 127 to 86. Pretty good week. So pretty good week, guys. What are we?
Isaac. My God, 86 points.
Pretty good. It's okay.
Anthony, you want to go into your fantasy team? Biggest disappointment, biggest surprise player, and most mediocre?
Yeah, so I'll just go in right now. You know, won this week. We're 2-0 now. We won against Stewie, 161.24 points to 146.14 points.
What a fucking high scoring game. My God.
I know. I was the
over 300 points combined with you guys.
My team was the highest scoring team. My team was the highest scoring team in our league this week. Now I'm averaging 141.51 points.
Which is wow.
Yeah.
You want a cookie?
I do.
You want an In-N-Out burger?
Hey, guess what?
Coca-Cola?
My team hasn't done this ever, like ever. So I'm going to milk it. Yeah. That's I would great. Love a cookie. Biggest disappointment.
With your milk.
Now, yes. Choco biggest milk. Disappointment for me is, yeah. See, this can go either way. Jake Ferguson is my tight end. He was injured, so I have to pick up another tight end off the waivers, and that's kind of crappy since tight ends are horrible for fantasy this year for some reason. So Colby Parkinson technically would be my biggest disappointment with one catch for two points.
Seahawks legend.
I don't really count him as my team at all, so I'm going to put DJ Moore there instead with 11 points as my biggest disappointment. Biggest surprise player. Alvin Kamara, baby, with 44 points, 4 touchdowns. Insane. Three rushing, one receiving touchdown. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's so good. He's so good.
Call him Wendy's. Oh, for foe.
And then most mediocre player. See, and my team did well. The team did well. So I guess the most mediocre player for this week for me would be Jonathan Taylor with 15 points.
Yeah. What did Saquon end up with?
Saquon ended up with 17, almost 18.
Could have had
that makes sense.
Could have had about 6 more if he caught that ball.
Yeah,
doesn't matter.
Also choked that game for them. But yeah. Moving into my game. So my biggest disappointment was Anthony Richardson. I got pulled up here. He had 9.86 points, but going into halftime, he had -1 point. So that was really bad. Was not expecting that. My biggest surprise player is Nico Collins, and it's pretty clear he's a wide receiver one there. I'm very happy that I picked him. Again, I don't think he'll average 27, but I'm happy that he's been so balling. Well. Dude, he's so good. I mean, he's tight great. End in the wide receiver body, man.
He's absurd.
And then again, my most mediocre player, and he's been on this list twice now, Dalton Kincaid, 7.3 points, bud. When do you plan on showing up, buddy? 7.3 points this week. Hold on. Last week, I think he had 3.3, but I continue to click on the wrong thing. Yep. Last week, 2.1. He doesn't even have a fucking combined 10 points in 2 weeks. Fuck, Dalton. Do
sorry,
something.
Duties.
Nerdy it's name, cooking. Too. God.
It's cooking.
Please do something. Anyways, we'll move on because
I got it.
I mean, that's the one thing that's weak on this team, those two guys.
Yeah, I got to say.
Rashad White got injured. So.
Yeah, I do have to say one thing. What is your – look, Anthony Richardson, man, 3 interceptions in a game. I feel like I get it. He's only played 6 games, right? He only played like 4 last year, whatever. I got to be honest, man. This is by far his worst game he's played in an NFL uniform.
Yeah,
does that scare you at all? Like as a fantasy owner and I guess even like an Anthony Richardson fan, does that worry you?
A lot because this is realistically the player he is. He takes some crazy shots, has a crazy arm, but he can't throw anything short, anything within honestly, like 10 to 20 yards he always struggles with actually wise. The long bomb that's where he excels. Realistically, I mean, we've seen this with Anthony. He is a fucking phenomenal player. He reminds me of like the LeBron of the NFL. He's got it all except for IQ. And he does not have the
IQ. He's got J.R. Smith IQ with LeBron exactly, upside.
Because he throws some really bad balls and that team should be winning that game against Green Bay. I'm sorry. Yeah. That was
just keep handing it out to Jonathan Taylor.
I love him. And I think, again, dude, I think the Colts are going to turn around. I don't know.
I think he'll be fine. I think it's 6 games, but that was pretty bad. That was a bad regression into Florida Gators territory.
Yeah. Yep. And I mean, realistically, the reason why he was number one pick was because of that throw last week. And the reason why he wasn't the number one pick was because of the 3 interceptions he threw this week. So
yeah,
you see kind of both sides of the ball. Moving on to some of the news, though, because we want to kind of run through this. Oh, man, we talked about it earlier. Should Tua retire? Fellas, what do we think?
Yes. That's okay. All I can say. Yes.
Keaton? Look, I know he's not, but it is really sad. I absolutely think he should. I just do want to say one thing. And actually, you know, I'm going to let Zach take it over because I want to say something after.
Yeah, so I'll be completely honest. I'm not the biggest Tua liker. I don't hate the guy. I think he's a great dude outside of the field. But on the field, I don't think he's the greatest quarterback. And I made a joke earlier that I think is a funny joke. But with all honesty and not fucking around, I really hope he takes this seriously. And I really hope that he takes his health moving forward even more seriously than he is now. Because you never want to see a guy end up like Antonio Brown or some of these guys that we see that are just going crazy. And the way that Tua's career is going right now, you can see that he wants to play still. We'll talk about this in a little bit. And if you continue to do the dumb shit that you do where you dive into someone, you're going to continue to get concussions. And I don't want to see Tua like that. Like, in all honesty. And I don't think that he has to quit. I don't think the NFL should get involved. I don't think his teammates, players, anyone should get involved besides Tua. It's Tua's decision. No one is should and or realistically are required to get involved with this besides Tua and his family. And I think Tua will make the best decision for Tua. But I think Tua, again, I don't really know how you can continue in the NFL with that thought process in the back of your head. Hey, if I get one more concussion, I might not be able to take care of my family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know? I think he's nearing territory of like, do I wake up if I take another concession, like concussion? And,
dude, and it's like, I don't know. I watched a couple of videos and I threw up the gang sign earlier because he again threw up the gang sign. And Mike McDaniel, I think, had one of the best quotes maybe that you could tell a player. I mean, he walked up to him while Tua was walking off the field and he said, "Hey, man, I know that this isn't a decision that you need to make right now, but I want to say this. You are the head coach of your family. We don't need you right now. Go get safe and healthy," basically, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Walks to the locker room. I mean, that's probably the best thing that he could have said.
That's all you can do right there.
That's the greatest decision that you could have made as a head coach, and realistically, probably the best thing you could have said. And again, Tua doesn't need to make the decision now. He should think about it. And I don't think Mike McDaniel should get involved at all, but saying you should really think about it, because I don't want to see Tua with a scrambled egg brain.
Look, that's his third concussion since 2022. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, it's his fourth. Three of those resulted in the gang signs that you talk about, which is called fencing. For those who don't know, this is essentially when your gray matter shuts down. And it basically, your gray matter in your brain is the place where processing of sensation, perception, voluntary movement, learning, speech, and cognition takes place. And so your body basically congeals to like a fetal state because it just can't process anything.
It's like you lose all motor function, right?
Yep.
Like
it shuts down.
Yeah.
In what's common in CTE is gray matter basically just disintegrates and CTE is damaging, and it is consistently damaging. So it's not like you have it and then it consistently gets worse. There is no way to reverse or treat gray matter damage. So once you have it, you basically have it. So when as you get older too, and it starts to shut down, those neurons in your brain die. And so I absolutely believe that he has some sort of early onset CTE. And I say that with genuine sincerity, that if he takes another one, dude, I think he legitimately is risking his life. And I mean that in like a genuine sense of like, he might not ever wake up from a concussion, because he gets very violent and nasty concussions. And the NFL, man, the NFL should do their job and step in. If they care so much about protecting players' health, this is what they do, but they won't, because Tua brings in money. And it's really sad to watch an organization.
It's really not their place to do that. Yep. You know, like I said, it's Tua's decision, and realistically, I think Mike McDaniel probably said the best thing that he could have as a head coach. And I know there's guys in that locker room that are like, "Hey, buddy, you know, I think it's realistically a time where you should think about either hanging it up or try to do something smarter." Because most of these concussions, I'm not going to say all of them,
not a slide,
probably at least half of them have been him diving into a player and making a dumb decision, you know,
or getting absolutely slammed on the ground.
I will say this, a little ironic that it was DeMar Hamlin. And that was mentioned in the broadcasting as well. Again, we saw kind of what happened with him, and not to say it should be a wake-up call for Tua, because DeMar was the one that injured him, but I think it should be something that he maybe thinks about. You know, I mean, DeMar's still playing, but Tua's had this happen multiple times, not to DeMar's, you know, frequency or the magnitude of his, but I think Tua just needs to make a proper decision for his family. And he will. Yeah. I love Tua as a guy. Not a big fan of him as a quarterback, but he'll make the right decision. And I'm praying for you, man. All jokes aside, seriously.
Officially on the IR, so he's got four weeks.
I will bring in a good laugh with it, though. considering it was DeMar Hamlin, you know, you either die a hero or you live long enough to see yourself become the villain.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Note alert.
Waiting on that one. You're waiting on that one, huh?
He's been crafting that all day at home.
Yeah. And it was like, what's yep. 6:30 p.m. Can't wait.
What's a good quote I could use?
Hey.
As Spider-Man once said.
That's not Spider-Man.
I know it's Batman. Oh, I know it's not Batman.
Okay,
Batman.
Okay. I was going to say, that's the Dark Knight. But
as the Double-Double Man once said.
Well, okay. Anyways, moving on. Nope. We're going to get into some injuries that have been kind of crazy. The Chiefs with Pacheco. The Chiefs are reuniting with free agent running back Kareem Hunt. They now have three backup running backs to replace Pacheco because he will be out 6 to 8 weeks with a fibula injury. Not ideal for fantasy managers, not ideal for the Chiefs because he is a big part of that run game. He runs so hard, and that is not an injury that you want to see for a starting running back that runs the way that he runs. I wish the Chiefs the best, not, but let's hope that Kareem Hunt can kick his way back into the NFL. Anyways, moving on. Again, injury bug with San Francisco. It's like the COVID out there. 49ers are placing, the 49ers, Debo Samuel, wide receiver, is set to miss a few weeks with a calf injury. They're also placing CMC on IR, which I don't believe we talked about before that, so that's why I was going to say that before, but I read Debo. Again, CMC might not be ready until week six. Maybe further on, week six is when he could come back from IR, but it doesn't look too hot. And if he does come back, I'm hearing that it won't be a full workload. Debo Samuel, again, it sucks. He always gets injured. But again, my biggest thing as a 49ers fan is to just think this is the beginning of the year. I'd rather it happen then, get healthy, move forward. Nick Bosa also left the game early, but he came back and played. So that shouldn't be anything that I'm worried about. Oh, and Debo's injury was a calf strain, which again is weird to me because he played throughout the whole game, but he's set to miss a couple weeks. He will not be put on IR. And with that being said, you look at a team where Brock, I don't think, is playing horrible, not playing great. I think that offense is kind of slow. The play calling has been fucking horrible. And realistically, we just signed a guy for $30 million a year. My question to you guys is, Brandon Ayuk finally going to step up?
Let's have Keaton take the floor right now. He's waiting patiently.
Oh, I see him. You want to know how I got these scars?
You want to know how I got these scars? Hating on the Niners. Super Bowl losses. No, I think
about the 49ers.
No,
wow.
I think this is where if you're Brandon Ayuk, you have to make your money, right? Because you are now wide receiver number one. And not only are you wide receiver number one, but you don't really have wide receiver number two or three or four because Christian McCaffrey isn't playing. So you really just have Kittle and Ayuk. And if you're a defense, you know, Rams, you guys have a pretty easy game against the Rams, hopefully. But I mean, you can double coverage Brandon Ayuk most of the game. And now what are you relying on? Jordan Mason and George Kittle? So he's going to have. Yeah, Juwan Jennings might be Juwan a nice Jennings. Making the little contract run right now. But Brandon, you've got to step up. This is what happens when you miss minicamp. And look, man, if you come back rusty another week, sorry, man. They're gonna send the yard to you.
He has the potential to be wide receiver one after next week. As in like this next week,
he's gotta be
week with three. Yeah.
You yes. lose against the Rams, man.
Could maybe get 30. But the next team that we want to talk about were the Rams. Not only is Puka on IR now, but wide receiver Cooper Kupp was taken out of the game and is expected to miss an extended period of time with an ankle injury. He's going to probably go on IR. And the Rams now.
It's over.
I mean, if you're talking about double teaming someone, the Rams don't have someone you can double team. The Niners, if we lose on Sunday, I'm slamming the fucking panic button.
Yep.
Because I'm this not, should
I,
be.
I don't want to be around Zach if that happens. If that happens, I'll be, oh boy, that's gonna be.
Dude, I'll be so angry. But I doubt.
I'll be in the corner. Like just I'll be in the corner, just laughing, but very silently because of Zach. Hey.
Anyways, that moves us on to week three, and let's hope that some of our teams win this one because we have some crazy games. Starting off, we got the Patriots and the Jets. Anthony Keaton, who do we think is going to win this one?
Ant, resident Patriots fan, go ahead and take it off.
I'm not going to lie. I'm going to go biased again. I'm going to say the Patriots. The reason for this, too, is because I'm sorry. Yes, the Patriots aren't the greatest. I'm not going to lie, though. The Jets don't really look the greatest either.
I'm not going to lie. It. I'm going to go with the Patriots, too.
I am going Patriots.
That defense is going to give them troubles, and they're going to win.
Mm-hmm.
I think Robert Saleh is hell of a bad head coach.
On top of that, too, Garrett Wilson hasn't done much. Garrett Wilson has not done much for the Jets. Like, they Jets have allowed too many points to go past them with this so-called amazing seven. Jets defense. Like,
and Will Levis choked. Let's be honest. Yeah. I think the Patriots could do it. Better defense, better head coach.
Also,
coach
Aaron Rodgers never played the Patriots. I mean, he has, but
But
doesn't regularly play.
I'm going to say the Patriots, man.
I'm going to go.
That's our Thursday night football game. That's a good one. I don't know if it's going to be entertaining, but for Ant's sake, let's hope that they win. Sunday morning, we have the Chargers at the Steelers. Holy moly, what a boring game that one is. I'm going to take the Chargers. I think they're going to run on the Steelers.
I'm going to agree with that. I'm going to go with the Chargers. I'm not a fan of Justin Fields. I mean, yes, he fits that offense a lot better than the Bears. But I don't know. I don't think that Justin Fields and George Pickens are going to be able to do it. I think I'm going to go with the Chargers. I think all around Chargers can do more.
That's fair.
I always have been. I'm a Justin Fields guy. You know, you can check the receipts. I think the Steelers are going to win this. I think again, it's a kicker game. It's gonna come down to a kick. But I think the Steelers have the recipe, man. They got the defense. So
yeah.
Give me
that. Like I said, we have some.
Give me that.
Week. Moving on to the next one, we got the Texans at Vikings. This is a very hard one to predict. Hey, I'm just going to go out there and say it. I think the Vikings playing the Niners in a physical game are going to come out and be sluggish. I just have this feeling. I think the Texans, after a game like that, are not going to play the way that they played. I think they're going to come in and beat them by at least seven. That's my guess.
I could agree with that. I could, because I also know Justin Jefferson is questionable right now. I can't forget.
The Texans win for sure. In my opinion,
I know he's question. I know Justin Jefferson's questionable. I forget what it is though, but I will say, I think I am
quad injury.
The Texans on this quad injury.
Yeah. He's quad, fine. Sorry.
He's fine. But I think the Texans are going to get this, but honestly, I think this is going to come down to a field goal though. I think it's going to be a little closer.
I can see it being close too. Yeah.
Go ahead and just give me the Texans. I watching that defense. I know it's Caleb Williams and I know he struggled, but that defense is shut down. If Sam Darnold can legitimately come out firing, I gotta be honest, man.
Yeah.
We gotta start looking at putting the Jets into the CFL because they are quarterback. They are a quarterback carousel and not in a good way. Yep. So, but I still have Texans. I think Texans win it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so as well. Next game is Eagles at Saints. I think the Saints are going to take this.
Saints are going to take this too.
As to why the Eagles could win, I just don't. I don't think they're going to stop it. And not Deshaun. What's his name?
Derek Carr.
Derek Carr. No,
the rookie that they just got, the white cornerback.
Oh.
What's his name?
Cooper DeJean.
Cooper DeJean. Thank you. It is DeJean. I was going to say DeJean, but Cooper DeJean. He went in there. Didn't play horrible, but he just does not look like he's completely ready. He looked really timid. And if they don't get their either nickel or whatever he was, I don't know what he was playing as, but if they don't get the
guy back. They need to put him at free safety.
Man, he looked timid. He did not look like he was playing too well. So,
yeah,
the Saints could feast on him. The Saints could feast on that defense that I don't think is great. I just don't see a world where the Saints are going to lose this one with all the momentum they have.
I think it's going to be a high-scoring game, but I think the Saints are going to take it, though.
Yeah, I can see that.
I'm going to go Saints as well.
Yep.
I just don't see how the Eagles do it.
Broncos at Bucks. Give me the Bucks.
Bucks might get benched.
Yep. Packers at Titans. I think this is going to be a lot closer than it should be. The Packers, I'm going to be honest, man, they just did not look fucking phenomenal. And obviously, you don't have Jordan Love, but that wide receiver core, like I said, filled with wide receiver threes. I'm just playing. All jokes aside. I hate the fucking wide receiver core of the Packers, man. They're just not that good. But I don't see a world where the Packers are going to lose this one. I think they'll probably be able to run all over the Titans. But for some reason, I'm thinking this is a close game when it shouldn't be. Mm-hmm. I see it. Hey, and Malik Willis, hey, he played fucking good. He didn't play bad.
Did what he needed to do.
Yeah, he did everything that he was asked to do. And realistically, against the Titans, I don't really see a world where he doesn't do that, especially with how they're playing.
I hate Mike Vrabel.
You might get fired. Killer. But we'll see. We'll see. I got the Packers.
Damn. I got Packers as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm actually gonna go the Titans. I'm just cause I can be a contrarian.
I mean, that's fair though. That's fair. Like
no rhyme or reason.
Excuse me. I'm telling you, I think that game's gonna be close. Giants at Browns. yeah, I don't really see a world where the Browns lose this one. The Giants are fucking ass. Daniel Jones is horrible. That offense literally has no one but Malik, and even Malik is still having his rookie kind of struggles. So he is honestly balling out. He has, I believe, the second most receptions. Yeah. In the NFL, last week he played really well.
86% of the targets.
Yeah, but that Browns defense, they're going to double him. I don't see a world where they lose this, even with Deshaun playing as he is. Give me the Browns.
Yep, Browns.
I'm going to go Browns as well. That's much as I hate to say it.
All right, Bears at Colts. I'm going to say that the Colts get their first win, which is surprisingly one of the teams that I was not expecting to be 0-2, but I think the Colts do it.
I think the Colts are going to do it. Colts are 0-2. Bears 1-1. Bears should not be 1-1. But I think this is where the Colts start off hot, and I think that they're going to really, I think they're going to start doing well after this game, and once they get this first win. So I'm going to go with the Colts.
I see it.
Okay. I'm. This is going to be a battle of interceptions. I'm going to be 100% transparent. I think I just don't see how the Caleb Williams wins another game. So I'm going to go Colts as well. But Anthony Richardson might have four first half interceptions.
Yeah.
It's
so
not looking
too might not be good
there, but
might not be great.
Panthers at Raiders. If the Raiders lose this, it would be the most Raiders thing ever to do because they just got a crazy good win. And Andy Dalton is actually starting for the Panthers.
And apparently Andy Dalton has the Raiders number. Apparently he's got the Raiders number too. So that's also a little concerning.
Hey, I could see this being an L. I'm not going to take it. I think the Raiders win with how bad that Panthers team is in general. But another game that might get close and the Panthers might get the huge upset. We'll see.
This game very well may be the meme matchup of the week.
Oh, it is. It should be. Yep.
I have a meme matchup of the week.
Okay.
There's no way I pick the Panthers. I'm sorry.
There's no way
I pick the Panthers. After that gritty win against the Raiders, against the Ravens, I'm going. Yep.
Yeah, we're going
with Dolphins at Seahawks. I don't see how the Seahawks lose this one.
Seattle.
In Seattle, Tua is on IR. Dude, as a Dolphins fan, that's probably one of the spots that you don't really want to play, especially without Tua, especially after what just happened with Tua. The momentum for that team is down. Seattle is definitely up. I got Seattle.
Tell you what, Mike McDonald is going to put his guys in a tackling camp. He was not happy after that game, so they're going to come out firing.
I think Seahawks are going to go 3-0.
God, that would be so good. Holy shit, I can't imagine.
They're going to win that game. Keaton, I'm assuming that you have the Seahawks too?
Oh, yeah. Always. Okay. Not always.
Ravens at Cowboys.
This is my meme matchup. This is my meme matchup.
This is
after a week like that, man. My God, these better come out firing. I'm gonna take the Ravens because I hate the Cowboys, and why not? I think the Ravens need to win a fucking game. It makes sense that they should start now. Give me the Ravens.
I'm in the same boat as Zach. I really just don't want to see the Cowboys win. I don't like the Cowboys. They're poverty franchise. They suck. I'm taking the Ravens as well.
Yep.
Yeah. Give me the Cowboys, man. I don't know why. I just don't have faith in the Ravens right now. I haven't had faith
in. Completely fair. Yeah. I mean, both those teams, it's hard to have faith in. So I don't blame you. Lions at Cardinals. I honestly think this might potentially be the game of the week. And it's crazy to say that. The Cardinals have a lot of momentum. The Lions pass defense is ass. And Aiden Hutchinson, I promise you, will not have more than a sack against Kyler because Kyler's way too quick for him. Realistically, it'd be smart to take the Lions, and I think they'll probably be favorites, but I'm going to take the Cardinals because I think that they're going to win. I don't know. I just have this weird feeling. Give me the Cardinals.
Give me the Lions.
I'm so torn with this because I think it's going to be a high-scoring game, and I'm going to go with the Lions on this. Very well could be wrong, though, with this, but I think it's going to be very high-scoring.
I could see it. I just don't like the Lions, so. 49ers at Rams. I would be shocked if the 49ers lost this
one. You guys lose this game?
Dude.
Zach, this is going to be my thing. I think the Niners are going to win, but I'm telling you right now, if the Niners lose this game, I may or may not play the Fuck the 49ers song if you guys lose.
Okay. No need for that.
I'm just kidding. I won't do that. But I think the Niners are – okay. I think the Niners are going to win, but it will be pretty bad if you guys did lose that game.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Keaton, I'm assuming that you got the 49ers, or are you going to be
I do. I do. Nope, I do. If you guys lose this game, though, I'm not – I'm actually going to smile the entire episode.
Yep. Okay, football game, Chiefs at Falcons. There's no way the Chiefs lose this one. They're not the Eagles. Give me the Chiefs.
Unfortunately, give me the Chiefs 3-0.
I'm going to take the Falcons.
All right.
I hope you're right. I hope your predictions are right now, Keaton.
I love how Kirk Cousins has been playing, man. I love how and you know what? Patrick hasn't been playing great. So,
hey, that Atlanta defense too. They are elite. They're elite.
Sneaky. No, sneaky.
I just don't see it though. Hey, Matthew Judon, ATL. Hey, being completely honest, I know Matthew Judon looked better in a Patriots jersey, but the rest of the leaves in Atlanta, it's tough as fuck.
I'm going to be honest. If Kirk wins this, I will personally pay for his expenditure at Blue Flame in Atlanta. So go ahead and shine for me, huh?
All righty. Well, getting into our last two games, we have a two football. I don't like when they do this, by the way. I
two game special.
I just realistically think it's probably one of the worst things they can do, especially because they start the game when everyone's still working or just getting off of work. And the games that they have are just not great. We got the Jags at Bills. I'm going to take the fucking Bills. I don't see a world where the Jags do anything. And the Jags, they've looked fucking bad, man.
Trevor Lawrence is, I'll say it again. Hey, 10 games under 500 in his career.
Does not deserve that money.
Nope.
Like I said.
Go
for it. I'm sorry.
No. Okay. I was going to say I'm going to go with the Bills. Josh Allen's good. He's going to carry that offense to the win there. And they're going to go 3-0.
Keaton?
I'm gonna go Bills. I'm just gonna go Bills.
Yeah. Last one, we got the Commanders at Bengals. This is the Bengals' first win. There's just no way they lose this one. If they do, you should be slamming every panic button in Cincinnati because that would be really bad. I don't see how they're gonna lose though. I don't know.
I agree. I think the Bengals are gonna take this win, but Zach's right though. To all Bengals fans out there. And fantasy managers out there with any Bills players like Jamar and Joe Burrow. If the Bengals lose this, it's time to hit the panic button. You guys are not making playoffs if you guys lose this game. Just going to say it right now.
And you can
quote me on this. You can clip this right now. If you guys lose this game, you guys are not making playoffs. Saying it now.
Okay, but Ant, you got to think of the team that we're talking about. It's the one team that does it every year.
We're not talking about the Steelers.
Okay. Anyways, Keaton, who do you think?
I'm going to be honest. I have the Bengals. Jaden Daniels is great. He's going to have a passing touchdown, but I don't know if he'll get it done. Nope. Cool.
Keaton, do you have a crazy stat or was that for something else?
I do have a crazy stat.
Okay,
there has been a noticeable downtrend in passing touchdowns this year. We've seen that with the scores reflecting. And
passing yards thrown, I think.
Passing yards, everything. I mean, Geno Smith had 350 yards. He led the league this week in passing. So so there's an actual stat that backs this up. Through the 2 weeks of the NFL over the past 10 years, we're talking about 2018, 2019, 2020. We're looking at about 114, 110 passing touchdowns through 2 weeks of football in the first 2 weeks, right? Mm-hmm. 2023 was 86 through 2 weeks. Okay. That was way low. I mean, you're talking about almost a 30 touchdown drop.
Yeah.
2024 has 69 passing touchdowns through 2 weeks of football. In a matter of 2021, there was 110. In 3 years, it has dropped off over 40 touchdowns. So.
When was the last time it was that low?
It has since 2017, the lowest was 78 touchdowns. So I don't know when the lowest it was.
It's been years.
Yeah, I don't know when the lowest it was, but at least for this is a 10-year low. We're in a touchdown drought. So, cool little stat.
Hey, defense.
That would That would hey, three rookie starting quarterbacks. None of them have passing touchdowns. I don't know when that's happened, but it's been a while.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yes, it has been. Well, fellas, that ends this week. Do you guys have anything to say before we wrap it up?
Go Hawks.
Go Patriots.
Go Niners.
Gino. Gino's kind of proving everyone wrong right now. Kind of called it.
God. Krispy Kreme. Anyways.
Oh, dude, I'll glaze him all day.
Please like, subscribe. I just don't want to hear this anymore. Later.
Fake to Connor. Murray on the rollout. Looking deep for Harrison. Marvin Harrison Jr. to the end zone. Touchdown again.